invite you to open your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. You know, if you're a Jesus follower, there's a couple of things that you need kind of as the foundation in your life. You need an accurate view of God as he's revealed himself in Scripture. And you need an accurate picture of yourself as God sees you as revealed in Scripture. And so you need that as part of your life. And so you'll respond to life from that mindset. But also as a Jesus follower, as you leave here in just a few moments and you go back into your world, into your community, your workplace, your school, your neighborhood, there's two things that the people that you bump into need. They need an accurate view of God as he's revealed himself in Scripture, and they need an accurate picture of themselves as revealed in Scripture. And in Luke chapter 15, Jesus begins to kind of lay that foundation with a few stories. If you look in the very first part of the chapter, he's having a conversation with the tax collectors and the sinners. And we've talked about before, the tax collectors are so bad, they put them in a separate category than the sinners so they wouldn't offend the sinners. And so it always says the tax collectors and the sinners. And so Jesus is having a conversation with this group, and the religious people of the day begin to mutter. It means they begin to kind of talk lowly and voice their dissatisfaction that Jesus is interacting with these tax collectors and sinners. And you read that and you think, what's the problem? The problem is they don't have an accurate picture of God as he's revealed himself in Scripture. And if you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father, for he said the Father and I are one. And they do not have an accurate picture of themselves as God is about to reveal it in Scripture. And so Jesus begins to tell some parables. Parables were just everyday stories that made a spiritual point. And in Luke chapter 15, he tells the parable of the lost sheep. He tells the parable of the lost coin. And he also tells the parable of the lost son. We often call it the story of the prodigal son. And so that's what I want us to look at today. If you've got your Bible, to follow along with us in Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse 11. Jesus continues to tell these stories. He says, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to the father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had and set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. And then in verse 17, one of the great phrases in Scripture. If you underline your Bible, if you highlight your Bible, you want to underline this one. Because it says in verse 17, when he came to his senses. The thing you ought to ask yourself today is, have I come to my senses? It says, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. I don't know if you've ever had plans to have a conversation with somebody or if you've ever even been asked to speak at some event. But if you do, one of the things you do is the same thing this guy does. You go over what you say in your head. Somebody asked me yesterday, I was on the phone, and said, what are you doing? I said, I'm going over in my head what I'm going to say tomorrow. That's what I do all day Saturday and Saturday night. I go over in my head what I'm going to say. And you've done the same thing. You're just like, I got to meet with so-and-so for coffee, or I got to meet with so-and-so for lunch. You go over in your head what you're going to say. So this son who's come to his senses, the first thing he says, I got to get a speech together. And I love it because he's got a three-point speech. He says, first of all, I'm going to go to the Father, and he's going to say, I've sinned. I did something that was against you. And then he says, second, I'm going to tell the Father I'm not worthy. In other words, I'm not worthy to be called your son. Because see, when he went to the Father and said, I want you to give me what's mine, he's looking at the Father. He's basically saying, I'm going to live as if you're not existing. You ever lived as if the Father never existed? And then 30 says, I have nothing to offer. I'm just going to say, can I be your servant? So he's got his speech together, and he's got his three points together. You ever done that? You ever done that with God? I mean, you're talking to God, maybe you're praying, and really what you're doing is you're giving a speech. You see, this guy has no idea what he's going to get. So he's come to his senses, he's in a distant country, he's made a mess of things, he's got his speech together, but now he has to go back. You ever had to go back? He doesn't know what he's going to get. Is the door going to be locked? Is he going to get a finger in his face going, I dare you? Is his dad going to meet him at the door and go, you need to talk to your mama? And when you get finished talking to her, you need to call Aunt Betty, because you're not invited to the family gathering at her house. Matter of fact, you better talk to your older brother. Oh, you can come back, but you're going to be on probation, buddy. If you think you can come back and just walk in this house like that never happened, he has no idea what he's going to get. You ever been in that position? You ever been in that position with God? You're going, I've made a mess of things. I don't know what I'm going to get from him. See, that's why you got to have an accurate picture of God as he's revealed in Scripture. Not what your mom and daddy necessarily told you or what that church told you or what you heard one time, but what God has said in his word about himself. What Jesus has revealed about the Heavenly Father, because he says, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. In an accurate picture of yourself as it's revealed in Scripture. Well, he's got his speech, and he goes back, and something really strange happens. In verse 20, let's pick back up in the story. It says, so he got up, and he went to his father. But, first conjunction, this is big. That means there's something that's opposite's about to happen. There's something that is contrary to what you think was going to happen, it happens. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him, and he ran to his son. If you ever study this passage on your own, you're going to see a lot of people write a lot of things about this father running. In those days, adult men did not run. It was not a big deal to me because I'm an adult man and I don't run. But in that culture, adult men did not run. It was not dignified. It didn't look good. Because they've got these long robes on, they'd have to pull them up, expose your legs, which was not kosher. And so the father runs. And so if you study any of this, you're going to hear a lot about the father running. It says he ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. I don't think that's what he expected. Verse 21 says, the son said to him, Father, he's got his speech, look at this. I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son, but he only got two of his points in. But, contrast, stop the speech. This is where the father goes, I don't hear any of that. Who are you kidding? What are you thinking coming back here with that? But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger. All about identity and restoration. And sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Now, some of you have heard this story before. And you're going, I know that story. Is that your picture of God? When you think about God, because you think about God, and you think about yourself, we know you think about yourself. Is this what you have in mind? Is this the God you know? Is this the you know? Because everybody's been in a distant country, and everybody needs to come to their senses. I just love this because the son planned a speech. I've got to do something. I got to say something to get in with the father. And the father planned a party. Is your God a party-throwing God? Is your God, is your view of the Heavenly Father going, I have a party-throwing God? Oh, that makes you uncomfortable, doesn't it? That makes us uncomfortable. We're going to talk about that a little bit more because it makes us uncomfortable. But is that your picture? That's not the son's picture, is it? It's like, man, I'm just wanting to be out there with the servants in the outhouse. Now I've got the robe on. I got the ring on. I didn't even get to finish my speech. I mean, I was ready. I was through 2 points of it. It was going good. It was going better than I thought it was going to. So you're a part of the movement of Jesus followers. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ and you have this viewpoint of God and you have this viewpoint of yourself, and you leave here in just a moment, you go back into your community and your divine agenda and your divine placement and your divine appointments, there are people that need to know a couple of things. Who God is as he revealed himself in Scripture, and who they are as he's revealed how he sees them in Scripture. And so what do you need to do? The first thing, as a part of the movement of Jesus followers based on this passage, is you need to live your life out there focused on who's not home. You need to be focused on who's not home. There are a lot of people all around you who are far from God. They hadn't left Hoover, but they're in a distant country. They're surrounded by people, but they feel left out. And one of the things he has sent us as his ambassadors is to make sure that we focus on those who are not home. It's interesting to me when you read this story. Did you catch it? The father was looking for the son. He says, why? It was a long way off. In other words, that son, that person, that child that's in the distant country, that's just the person God's looking for. That person you're going to bump into tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon, that person is the person God is looking for in that moment, and he sent you to them. It says the father ran. I mentioned that, didn't I? There's energy. There's excitement there. There's not, we got to be dignified. No, I'm excited to say. The boy came to his senses. And so he says, I want to focus on those who are not home. It's interesting, if you read the rest of these stories in Luke chapter 15, just before this, when there's the story of the lost coin, and then there's the story of the lost sheep in verse 3. In the story of the lost sheep, a man has 100 sheep, Jesus says, and one of them is missing, and he leaves the 99 to go after the one. In other words, he left those that were secure, those in the movement already, to go after the one that's not home yet. And so as you go out in your way and do your thing, God says, I want you to focus on the one that's not home. Now, we all sit here today, if you're a part of the movement, we're like, well, yeah, of course, of course. But not everybody has that mindset, do they? I mean, we ain't got to him yet, but here he is. In verse 25, verse 25 says, meanwhile, the older son was in the field. He's home. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field, and when he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of his servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied. And your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry. Remember in the first few verses, first two verses, there were people muttering because Jesus was hanging out with the tax collectors and the sinners. Now the older brother is angry because somebody's come home. It says the older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, not my brother, this son of yours, we talked last week, everybody you see is created in the image of God. Everybody you see is somebody Jesus Christ died for, and everybody you see is going to spend eternity in heaven. There's no need for this son of yours as a child of God. He says, this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, come home. I don't know. Did y'all catch that? He was in a foreign land doing wild living. Now he's got him with prostitutes. I don't know. Does he know something we don't? Or he just going, reality television was early. I don't know. You kill the fattened calf for him. This fattened calf's getting a lot of attention. My son, the father said, here's what we forget. You are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Everybody is not focused on who's not home. But here's the thing you know. If you're not focused on who's not home, you'll be focused on you. You catch the self-righteousness? Father, look at what everything I've done for you. I've never done anything against you. As my mama would say, he's tooting his own horn right here, buddy. I read this week, says there's only two things in this story unhappy. The older brother and the fattened calf. Jesus is just making the point. You better focus on who's not home. I don't know if you ever thought about this. You ever thought about what would have happened if the older brother had gotten to the younger son first? I don't have to wonder about that. I know what would have happened because it happened in your life. I've been doing this too long and talked to too many people that ran into the older brother before they ran into the father. And they say things like, I would never come to church. I'd never have anything to do with that. Because they don't understand the father, but they met the older brother. You see, Jesus is just trying to help us understand we need to focus on who's not home, but also Jesus is trying to help us understand to focus on what is next for the person that's coming home and not what is in the past. He says in verse 20, going back, this boy says he got up and he went to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son and he threw his arms around him and kissed him. The thing that you don't see there is the father didn't get historical. The father didn't say, there's some things we need to talk about. Let me revisit that conversation we had before you went nuts. Now, on in verse 32, we catch the father's mindset. He says, but we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Let me tell you, friend, if you're not home yet today, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, I don't know who you've bumped into, but God is far more interested in your future than your past. He didn't send his son to die on the cross for you to stay in your past. He came to forgive you and to give you a purpose and to give you a hope for the future. I don't know who you've bumped into in life, but when you bump into the Father, that's the message you get. And Jesus is coming to those of us who are followers and simply says, hey, listen, you need to focus on the next step. Because there's always people, come on now, they're not in the building right now, but we know them. There's always some people who want to look back. There's always some older brothers, right? Y'all know any older brothers? Did you grow up with some older brothers? Not necessarily biological, but you knew them? People who view people through the prism of their past instead of the prism of the power of God in their life. You see, some of you here sitting today, you look good, but you know you've been viewed through the prism of your past. And you're having a hard time getting over it. And Jesus comes along and says, listen, I don't know how other people see you, but I want you to see your life through the prism of the power of my spirit in your life. I didn't come to leave you where you are. He says in verse 30, this older son, this older brother who is looking at the prism of the past only says, but when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you killed the fattened calf for him. They're very excited about this fattened calf. This son of yours, no connection, no passion for what God is doing in his life, no passion that he's back home. You know, I think the older brother, let's just talk about him for a minute because they're not in the building right now. But we know him. The older brother always wants to make people feel guilty. I've spoken a few times, and people will come to me from time to time and go, I just think you really need to, you know, get on people's toes and make them feel guilty. Y'all grow up in a church that's trying to make you feel guilty? Listen, I don't spend any time trying to make anybody feel guilty. It don't matter if you feel guilty or not. You are guilty. Who cares if you feel it or not? If you feel it, you can get over it here in a few minutes. I'm about to be finished. Right? But once you understand yourself as God has defined you in Scripture, and he says you and I are guilty, for all have sinned. We all hung up in our feelings, but listen, he simply says, hey, you are guilty. Vodie Balcom, who's a pastor who passed away recently, I saw a video of him recently, and it just really caught my attention. And in this video, he says, all the gospel requires is repentance and faith. Nothing else. All the gospel requires is repentance and faith. And then he says, nothing else. And then he pauses. He says, I'm going to pause right there because that makes some of you uncomfortable. Because if we have an older brother mentality, one of the things that will creep in is like, but what about obedience? All the gospel requires is repentance and faith for you to change your mind about your sin, to change direction, and put all your weight on Jesus Christ for your salvation. But what about obedience? The gospel does not require your obedience. The gospel produces obedience. It shows that your repentance and faith is real. But we get uncomfortable when the older brother mentality shows up, when the younger son shows up, because we're going, whoa, 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 whoa. We got to put this boy on probation and see if he's real. He came to his senses and he went back to the Father. Jesus says one of the things we need to do is we need to focus on who's not home, and we need to focus on the next step for those who are coming home. And then finally this, and this is my favorite part. Jesus says, as a movement of Jesus followers, and you go into the community and you go where you do life at, he says, I want you to have a celebration mentality. I want you to have a celebration mentality about what I'm doing in the life of the people around you. I want you to have a celebration mentality about what I can do in the life of the people around you. The Son had planned a speech. The Father planned a party. I don't know anything that makes people more uncomfortable than that. That our view of God does not have celebration party throwing God in it. People will say, come on now, let's talk for a minute. Just us. Nobody else is here. We need to be dignified. The Father ran. The Father ran. And you look at that and you don't think anything about it, but everybody Jesus was talking about going, do what? We don't run. The Father ran. Does your Father run? Does your God run? He's simply making the point that, listen, as you go into your world and your community and you're focused on who's not home, and you're focused on their next step of returning home, have a celebration atmosphere about what God can do in that person's life. Everybody in here celebrates something, right? And Jesus says, as my followers, you celebrate what I'm doing in the life of other people. I love it that we do celebrate. I mean, we're getting there, right? I mean, baptisms. We stand, do standing ovations. How cool is that? You ought to. What else would you stand up for? Because your team went on a tip-in last night? No. I mean, in just a minute, I'm going to tell you, you're going to have an opportunity to celebrate. We're going to sing another song when I get finished here. Now I'm going to introduce 11 new families that are coming to the Green Valley family. And I'm going to go ahead and give you, I'm telling you in advance so you can get your party atmosphere worked up. And this is not a golf clap moment, okay? Come on now. I need you to well up. Everybody celebrates something. Does your Father celebrate? Over and over again, For this son of mine, in verse 24, was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Verse 28, the older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. What? Why did he plead with him? Come in and party. Verse 32 says, but we had to celebrate and we had to be glad because this brother of yours was dead. Not son of mine, your brother. Your brother is dead and now he's alive again. He was lost and is found. The father said the solution for the older brother's mentality was to come into the party. Because when he came to the party, what was he going to catch a glimpse of? A picture of the father. And a picture of how the father sees the son. If you walk in the front doors, you'll see on the wall, everyone has a story, and every story matters to God and to us. The son's story was this. He had his speech. I've sinned. I'm not worthy. Just make me a servant. Regret. I've blown it. There's no way back. I'll never return to where I was. That was his story. The father's story about the son, he's home. He's home. Help people see the truth about God. Invite people to come home. You see this story that many of you have heard many times. Do you see yourself? If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you say, listen, I've come home. Do you see yourself in the Father? Is that who you are? Are you focused on who's not home? Are you focused on people's future instead of their past? Are you celebrating what God is doing? Can we be honest for a minute? Do you see yourself in the older brother? Is there that tinge of you going, look what I've done? I've been faithful. Are we looking down at other people going, what are you doing? Or are we inviting them home? Today, are you the younger son? For the first time in your life, maybe you realize, I find myself in a distant country. I've walked off from the Father. I've acted as if the Father didn't exist. I've been doing my own thing. And maybe, just maybe today, you've come to your senses and you've got an accurate picture of the Heavenly Father that says, come home. My son died on the cross for you. The door is open. Do you see yourself? You're in the story. And somebody you bump into tomorrow will need to see that story.